So Sam Altman thinks that 95% of all of marketing might be automated by AI agents in the future. On this episode, I'm gonna tell you what's the number one mistake every marketer is making with AI. We're gonna get into what Sam Altman's quote was and what it means for marketers. And then I'm gonna tell you if 95% of all marketing can be automated in the future by AI, how can you be in the 5%?
Before we get to today's show, let me tell you about HubSpot. Finding a service solution that helps you keep your customers happy can feel impossible. Like, try to remember the name of that guy you literally just met at the networking event. HubSpot's all-new Service Hub can help. It brings together service and success together on one platform with AI-powered help desk and chatbots to handle your frontline support tickets, so you can scale support and drive retention and revenue. Visit HubSpot.com/service to learn more.
All right, this is a special solo show. This is just me, not Kip, no one else. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a thread that blew up on LinkedIn. I posted last week a quote that was attributed to Sam Altman. It talked about the fact that he feels in the future, AI may be able to automate 95% of all of marketing. Now, he didn't specifically say all of marketing, and I think some of the people who jumped into the comments maybe didn't read it correctly. And that's why what I want to do is I want to, first of all, go into something I've noticed happening a little bit with AI and marketers. So on LinkedIn, this really kind of blew up. It got reposted many times, got about 1 million impressions, about 620 comments, because it's kind of controversial, right? There's a lot of marketers, I'm a marketer, and we're going to feel some sort of way if someone says, hey, like 95% of everything you all can do can be automated in the future. But within that comment, there was a lot of great debate, a lot of great points. And what I wanted to do in this short episode is package it up into the number one mistake most marketers are making with AI today. Break down Sam Altman's quote for you all, because I think it's a little bit different than what people were answering. And then maybe talk about what could be in the 5%. Let's theoretically say that is true. 95% of all of the things we do today could be done by an AI agent in the future. How do we actually position ourselves to be in that 5%? Now, let's get into the number one mistake that I see most marketers making with AI. And this became really apparent within the comments of that thread, right? Within those 620 comments or there or thereabout, there was a lot of comments from marketers saying, AI is just hype. AI is just fabricated. AI is just a bunch of tech bros running around trying to raise a bunch of VC dollars. Now, is it a bunch of people running around trying to raise a lot of capital? Yes, AI has got an incredible amount of capital allocation over the past 12 months. If you are one of the people who think that AI is all hype, boy, are you in trouble. And I think there's a great tweet from Dharmesh in which he says, read the following sentence. You are competing with AI, and then you think about that for 5 seconds, right? And I think most people are having this kind of reaction to a quote that says, 95% of everything you do can be automated in the future. When we read that quote, we're saying, wow, we're competing with this AI. This AI thing is going to take our jobs. What Dharmesh says to do is like reflect in that for 5 seconds. What does that mean to you? And there's two ways to really think about that and interpret that, is that you are competing against AI or you are competing using AI. Which of these do you pick? If it's one, you will be best served by making sure that it's number two, right? If you are in the bucket of number one, you are best served that it's in number two. I actually think there's a third bucket. I think there's the people who think I'm competing against AI, the people who are competing with AI, which is actually a smaller number than I would have thought, which is surprising to me when I read through the comments in that LinkedIn post, the amount of people that just don't want to touch AI. Then there's the third category, which is like, we've heard all this before. This is a bunch of hype. I'm just not even going to bother with this. And I think if you are in the, this is all hype, and if you are in the bucket of, I'm going to compete against AI and not use it in my advantage, you are in a lot of trouble, right? AI will 100% automate repeatable tasks. That is a guarantee. That is a 100% guarantee I make to all of our listeners. And the reason Kip and I really want to do this show, and we enjoy doing this show, is because we want our listeners to be in the third bucket. We want our listeners to be in the, we're competing with AI because we believe it's a unconventional way to get leverage. We believe it's a way to advance our careers, make our companies much more successful, and be in that fast follower group. And when you step back, if you think this is all hype and you really don't think AI will automate a bunch of tasks, most of our jobs are made up of some form of tasks, right? If you actually break down what you do on a day-to-day basis, you are doing a bunch of repeatable tasks, right? It's all of the other stuff. So when you read that and you're like, wow, AI is going to automate away my job. No, there is a bunch of things that probably make your job unique. Dharmesh actually spoke to this in his newsletter, simple.ai, and that's where the tweet came from. And, you know, there's ways that you can make your job unique. There's ways that your job is unique in terms of, you know, the way that you work with other humans, the way that you have to solve problems, the way that you have to strategize. What Dharmesh said is you're solving problems, you're interacting with a group of humans, all with their individual human quirks. Humans have quirks. I know I have a lot of quirks. You come up with creative ways to make things better over time. Like, those jobs are more defensible. Now, we're going to get into the 5% because I think that starts to speak to what's in the 5% if 95% could be automated in the third part of this short episode. But I want to quickly get into the second part, which is actually to dig into the quote. What is the quote that kind of blew up on LinkedIn that got all of this really incredible interaction? I really enjoyed reading through each and every one of those comments. And it was this quote, right? So we've talked about the number one mistake I see marketers make. Really, AI is hype. AI is something I'm not going to touch because it won't be here in another year or two. You're 100% wrong. And I'm willing to take any bet you want. Please email the show, email me if you want to bet against AI. I'm willing to give you really great odds and take any bet you want to take, right? The quote that is an unattributed quote to Sam, so it was released in an editorial, and it was like, no one has him directly on tape saying it, but someone said he was quoted as saying this in some sort of, I don't know, behind the scenes event. AI will do 95% of what marketers use agencies, strategists, and creative professionals for today. Now, what people jumped into immediately was 95% of marketing, right? What Sam specifically said was what marketers use, and I think that's a really important point to make. What marketers use, they use agencies, strategists, and creative professionals today, right? For me, the key point in the quote that Sam was saying is what marketers use. Why is that such a key point? The reason that's a key point, because when I read that, I read it as Sam is suggesting a single marketer will be much more sufficient because of AI. What I see happening in AI, and what we've said on the show many times before, and what I have specifically said, and actually drives a lot of my investment strategy into seed and pre-seed stage companies within AI, is I believe vertical AI is where a lot of the disruption is going to come from in this next wave. We just saw an incredible app launched by a company called Cognition AI. There were some great videos going on from their CEO solving incredible math problems when he was just a teenager. But this is being pitched as the very first AI software engineer. And the demo is really incredible. This AI agent can bug fix, can write code autonomously. This is the eureka, the utopia for anyone who's in the coding space, who's trying to disrupt the coding space, is autonomous agents coding, right? That they can go in, write code, fix bugs, use reasoning to get to an end product, which means we really will get to the point where code is completely commoditized and all of us will be able to bring our ideas to life through a natural language interface, right? So we will be able to program in code as easy as I'm speaking to you all now. So there's examples of this in the law space. Harvey is the best known one, raised a bunch of funding. There's examples of apps in the medical space. There's a really popular app that helps doctors take notes. So we are seeing this huge increase in vertical AI. And I think vertical AI is where we're gonna see a lot of disruption immediately. And what that means is people will be able to do a broader range of stuff, right? So you used to hear, should I specialize, should I verticalize in something to accelerate my career, or should I stay as a generalist? And my advice, for the most part, would have always been, you should really verticalize. You should verticalize and have a core skill. Like, what is the thing you are truly great at? And I think what's going to be really interesting is if you are just an incredible generalist, you are able to work with these AI agents who are trained in vertical tasks, you can do much more stuff, but And you don't have to know those things, but you can be the person kind of organizing, strategizing, and using them to complete a task or do something that is meaningful. And I think that's what really SAM means is today marketers use a lot of those services, whether they're agencies, strategists, creatives, to be able to get their work done. But these AI agents trained in vertical tasks means that marketer can be much more self-sufficient. So it's not that AI is making marketing less important. I don't feel threatened by that quote. It means what I think is really exciting is marketers can be much more self-sufficient. A marketer can do much more. A marketer can get their ideas executed into market in a much more efficient way, right? A lot of us are stuck trying to bring our ideas to life because we don't have the skill set in design, coding. We don't have the skill sets that we need in the tooling. And we're kind of like reliant on all these other people and teams to do incredible work. And it would be really cool if the people who just have the great ideas, who are incredible at execution, have incredible perseverance, can actually do things quicker and much more efficiently. Now, does that mean we need less people over time to do the work that we're doing today? Yes. But does it mean that actually more work might get created? Potentially, yes as well. So that's the first part, right? I wanted to really dig into the actual quote, the we'll do 95% of what marketers use agencies, strategists, and creative professionals for today. So let's just dig into each one of those things, right? I want to talk about agencies, right? Agencies are 100% going to be completely disrupted. Marketing agencies will be completely disrupted by AI. Marketing agencies and service platforms like Fiverr, because again, what did I say? I really believe AI is going to automate repeatable tasks. And when you just look at Fiverr, it's not a case of what of these things do I think AI is going to automate? It's what of these things do I think AI is not going to automate, right? These are easy to automate with AI tasks, right? If they're article, blog posts, as long as they're informational, AI is a really good solution here. In particular, I will do a show specifically on Claude 3 and Claude Opus, because I am really impressed with that AI assistant. Really good at blog posts, and particularly informational things. Can it script write? Yes. Can it do creative writing? That's where it will struggle. Can it do podcast writing? If it does informational and educational, yes, right? Take any of these, proofread and editing, it's going to be autonomous agents that can proofread, that can write. In the same way that we are seeing this in coding, where you're verticalizing, and we've just showed Devin, it can create code, it can fix the code, it can get to an end product. We see the same capabilities in writing, like write the post, hand off to a different agent, proofread, edit, hand off to a different agent, do the second recursive version of that. So I think it's going to be able to do a lot of these things, right? And the same thing will happen to agencies. Marketing agencies who help companies scale their marketing efforts through these tasks that can be neatly packaged up and can actually be done by agencies are going to be very, very affected by AI. AI is probably a better option for most marketers to outsource their tasks to. There was a great quote in the LinkedIn thread from Jason Lemkin. He's the founder of SaaStar. And there's a quote, and it proves my point, but it's also something that I want to make clear that I also see a bunch of people, in my opinion, are wrong in their points of view, right? So Jason, who's coming on the show in April, so I'm excited to hash this out, founder of an incredible conference, SaaStar, he said he's getting 30 or more clips a week that he grades at like A- from an app called Opus Clip. Opus Clip takes long form content, video content, and will actually give you a series of short form videos based on that so we can use them across all of our popular platforms. Short form video, the number one investment. HubSpot are releasing a state of marketing report. It's the number one investment in that report that all marketers are making for the right reasons. I've got a separate post coming, why more marketers are making an investment in short form video than SEO, right? That's a real wow kind of stat. Stay tuned for why that's actually happening. But short form video is an incredible investment to make, but an incredibly competitive one. And what Jason says is, I'm getting 30 clips a week from this AI app, and I grade them at an A-. That's better than what I was getting from the agency, which is one or two from the agency. They're always late. They cost $5,000 a month, and their quality declines over time. That actually does happen in a lot of agencies where you have your customer and your quality declines over time because you take on more and more customers. You go quantity over quality. Now, if you're a marketing agency and you don't believe that is true, it's not true for the best, but it's true for a lot of marketing agencies. Now, I'm pushing back on one part of that. So I do think that is true, right? That's a repeatable task. He is outsourcing that. It's much better unit economics, much better efficiency to go through an AI app. And I believe that is the future where we are moving towards. Now, hopefully he doesn't mind me saying this, right? And he's coming on the show soon. I think that we are there in some cases where AI can actually do these repeatable tasks and not there in other cases, but early movers are moving ahead with it anyway. And I think video is one of those places where I'm still not convinced we're at production level quality, right? Here's the thing with short form video. It's a competitive space. As I said earlier, HubSpot are going to release a report soon, a state of marketing report. And one of the jaw-dropping stats in there is that more marketers are going to invest this year in short form video than anything else, including search, paid, which are like the two staples of what we mostly invest in. And that means short form video is becoming more and more competitive. And when you're competing for eyeballs across short form video, it's not just with your competitors or in SaaS or whatever market you might be in. And they're probably not even doing short form video, a lot of your competitors, because it's still like in its infancy in a lot of places in B2B, not so much B2C. But you're competing with like all of the different creators, everyone else who's like competing for the same eyeballs from short form video. And I would say Jason may think they're A minus. I would like to see what videos he's doing and maybe debate that point with him. But I suspect they're not A minus if you compare them against all of the other short form videos he's competing against for those eyeballs. I suspect they're like D plus, C minus, right? And this is my point on content. My number one point for AI and content is, sure, AI can help us a lot, but if the idea needs to be great and your production level quality, for the most part today, because content's such a saturated space, needs to be much better than you think it is. And from what I've seen AI do, and I've seen it a lot, it is still a good assistant to a lot of content repeatable tasks, and it can get you the research, it can get you editing, like Descript, all of these companies can help you edit things much more quickly, but it really can't get you to like the A minus plus production level quality. And so we are not there yet. I believe we will get there. Again, I've been really impressed. I've been playing around with Claude 3 all week, and I'm really impressed with that. And the thing is, one of the points I continue to emphasize here is we are 16 months into this evolution, right? It is a huge mistake to judge the impact of these tools based on the products that are out in the wild today. I'm sure most of you all do not remember this. You know, it was before many of our times, but the very first search engine was Yahoo's web index, right? They literally just wrote a web index and said, like, here's the websites, click on those links. It was a pretty rudimentary way to do web indexing, right? It wasn't nothing special. Like, people back then probably thought this is fine, but nothing incredible about it. It probably didn't feel like an amazing product or an experience until Google came. They created PageRank algorithm. They figured out that sites who link to other sites is a good signal of what's quality. And that's one of the ways we will uniform the results. And that probably felt over time like 100 times better of an experience than the original search engine. This is where we are today. A lot of the products you are looking at and saying, AI isn't hype. AI is not going to disrupt my agency. AI is not going to be able to do these repeatable tasks to production level quality. It's because you are looking at it and thinking that this is the Google era, not the Yahoo era. This is the Yahoo era. Right? Let me just be really clear. We are still playing around with a bunch of Yahoo web indexes. We are not playing with the Google search experience. And so I really want to make sure that you think about it in that way. First 16 months, this is really where we are. What I believe, and I said back to Jason, is I really think that we see AI-powered agencies who adapt and have brand new models and how they integrate AI heavily into their processes and will typically be run by a small group of incredible marketers, right? I'm not making any derogatory statements about AI agencies, but a lot of times they can be just run by account managers, and those account managers are just doing, pretty average work. They're not like incredible marketers. They haven't been in companies before. They haven't got their stripes. They haven't grown a company or a product before. They're just an account manager helping you do kind of average tasks. And I think AI, because it can do those things, you can have more bespoke agencies run by incredible marketers who have a ton of experience. And this is one of the examples that came up in that LinkedIn thread. I really like this. It's a company called Kea, and they are a startup marketing agency that has AI deeply integrated into how they work. And there is a great comment from the founder going through, why they're different. But this is what I think is going to be the kind of type of agencies we see in the future, where we see these kind of AI specialist agencies run by a small group of incredible marketers with really deep expertise who know how to train the agents, use the agents to actually automate a bunch of customers' work.
We'll be right back. But before, let me tell you about another podcast I love. Nudge, hosted by Phil Agnew, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Ever noticed how the smallest changes can have the biggest impact? On Nudge, you learn simple evidence-backed tips to help you kick bad habits, get a raise, grow a business. Every bite-sized 20-minute show comes packed with practical advice. Nudge is fast-paced, but is still insightful with real-world examples that you can apply. Oh, and it's the UK's fastest-growing business podcast. If you want an MBA's worth of insight in one podcast, this is the right show for you. Entrepreneurs will love the show because it's filled with repeatable, proven studies, not hearsay and one-off success stories. You're going to love the show because I was interviewed by Phil. You can go check out my episode. And I recently listened to an awesome episode. It's called Six Scientifically Proven Persuasion Techniques. It's a must listen for anyone in marketing. Listen to Nudge wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's on the agencies. On the strategists, the majority of the people in the comments, this is another, I think, error people are making. You know, we started with one of the errors being everyone believes AI is all hype. A lot of people believe that AI can't replicate strategy, right? This is where humans shine. This is my special sauce. AI can never replicate what I do. I'm an incredible strategist, right? AI is awful at strategy, right? Like, it put it in the corner, put it on a pip, fire the AI agent. It can't replicate what I can do with strategy. Are you crazy? Like, I'm a strategic god, right? The reason most people think that AI is bad at strategy is because they themselves, and I mean marketing strategies, because they themselves are not good at marketing strategy, right? Let me say that again. The reason that most people think that AI cannot produce a great marketing strategy is because that person themselves cannot produce a great marketing strategy. What the AI is doing is reflecting that person's knowledge in how they can actually create marketing strategies. So if they're getting back an average strategy, because they themselves are very average at how they create a marketing strategy. AI really reflects in a lot of places the knowledge you have about the thing that you were helping the AI to do. There are really three eras of AI that I think we will go through. There's the assistant era, where the AI is an assistant to us. It's like an intern. It's helping us do work. There's the AI as a peer. And we're starting to see that in vertical with things like Devon, where the AI is like a peer. It can do the job just as good as me. And now I can have extensions of myself and a team of AI agents. And then AI as a conductor, which is really where we're trying to get to, well, a lot of these companies are, which is the AI itself is much better than us at a job. There was a quote released this week or last week that believes that will happen by 2029, where the AI would be much more intelligent than any other human on the planet, which means it's better at doing our job than we are. And hopefully it keeps us around so we can still assist the AI. And people keep thinking that their special sauce is I'm a human and I know strategy better than the AI. Again, Claude 3 is really impressive. I've been building different strategic things with it this week to try this out. Again, I'm not building anything specific, but I am playing with these tools every day. I am in Ireland. EU sucks, run by a bunch of idiots. We cannot subscribe to Pro because, hey, we can't have nice things. But even just the free version is really, really good. Kip and I just released an entire podcast to show you us doing this through GPT-4. I would love to do this again with Claude. And I think it was released last week, where Kip and I build a marketing plan using GPT-4. Don't think your special sauce is building strategy. It is not. I think for marketers who work with external strategists today and they outsource some of that work, AI will be able to do that work. I really believe that. Creative, right? We went through agencies, strategists, and creative following Sam's code. I think this one is very self-explanatory. We were all shocked, and this is where I got most shocked with AI, is when AI started with creativity. It started with design and video first, right? It actually didn't start like further down the creative stack and blue collar jobs. It went right for the hard jobs, right from the beginning, right? Design, video, all of these different things. These tools can help a marketer get pretty good content into production. Today, if you are going to say, can this take 95% of all my creative work? I would say no, no way. You still need a really great designer. You still need someone really good at video who can actually use these tools. I think you can probably get, if you were just sat down as an individual marketer, you're in a startup, you had not many resources, you should use an AI tools. I think you can get like C-level content out, C+, C-, depending upon how good you are at content. I believe, again, coming back to what I was saying about Jason, if you want to get B or A-level grade in, then you still need a human to get you there. But they're getting much, much better, right? Midjourney just released this incredible tool. It is called Character Consistency Feature, which basically means you can prompt Midjourney and use this tag, which is S-R-E-F, which means keep that character and let me put that character in a bunch of different situations. So what people were struggling with is I have a prompt, it has a character, I put them in a certain situation. Let's say I put Kieran in a bear hoodie on a podcast on a Saturday because he's always grinding. And then I said, use the exact same prompt, but now put Kieran downstairs on the Peloton bike because that's where I'm going next. It was not consistent. I would be here with my bear jumper, look one way, and then I'd be on the Peloton bike, look another way. Now, it could be because I'm getting 2 hours of sleep a night, I'm a new parent, and when I'm on the bike trying to do the bike, I'm going to look like death. But what you want when you are a designer is consistency of characters, and they are doing a lot of incredible updates to make all of that come to life. And so I think these tools are getting much, much better. The point here is today a marketer can really use AI to do a bunch of creative stuff. It can certainly not outsource 95% of the creative work, but it can actually have one creative do much, much more work, right? Expands the ability to do much more work. So we all want to be in the 5%, right? Kip and I, entire goal of this podcast is to put you in the 5%, regardless of AI disrupting the 95% or not, which means put you in the 5% that are the most important, the best marketers on the planet. That's why we started the podcast. That's what we care most about. We aren't the podcast for the people who just want to do a good blog post, or how do I put a paid campaign live, or how do I do a bit of field marketing? We are not the podcast for you. We are the podcast for the people who are like, how do I get to be in the 5%? How do I make sure that whenever there's a cool new job out there in the wild, they ask me. I'm one of the first names that gets asked. Whenever there's something great to do in terms of freelancing or they need a marketer to invest in my company, how am I the person asked, right? That's the thing we care about. So if you get back to Dharmesh's point, the winners are really going to be the talented marketers, the marketers who know the fundamentals, the timeless things that make marketing truly, truly exceptional. Our grinders have perseverance and can use AI tools. I think the losers, for the most part, are going to be marketers who decide AI is all hype. Many of the LinkedIn comments, all hype. And they don't try it until it's too late. I don't think there's ever been a case where the fast followers have such a large advantage than now with AI because it's moving at such an incredible pace. And lazy marketers who use AI to churn out more average content, right? Who are using these tools to just churn out C-level content for the rest of eternity and think that that's the best way to compete. The problem is that your C-level content becomes even less efficient because you have those marketers who are exceptional. And because they can use AI tools, their content is getting exponentially better and your content is staying the exact same, right? You're not taking advantage of these tools to move yourself to the really, really good bucket, to move yourself to the 5% bucket. AI doesn't give you A+ creativity, right? It's not going to give you any kind of real conceptual thinking right now. It's not going to give you a provocative point of view. It's not going to give you a spicy take that resonates with your customer. It won't make a marketing campaign that helps your customer feel warm and tingly inside because you really got them, because you really helped to say the unsaid, the thing that they really wanted you to advocate for on their behalf, the thing that they really wanted you to say on their behalf. It can't do those things, right? It will struggle to put a smile on their face. AI just cannot do those things. That's where it really matters to be an incredible marketer who really understands their customer, who really understands how to bring their customer's pain points to life in a very creative way, in a very humorous way, in a very provocative way. That's why it really matters that you can create marketing campaigns that make people feel some sort of way. And the AI can assist in that, but I think AI is always going to struggle to bring that humanness into the marketing that we do. And for the most part, marketing is trying to connect with other people and to actually provide real value for them, right? So that's the 5%. The 5% is really in there. It's the fundamentals, the timelessness of the timeless principles of marketing. Again, we actually have a show coming up to go through what we really mean by timeless marketing, but it's really understanding the customer, their pain points, how to bring those things to life in creative, provocative ways, humorous ways. AI really can't replicate, like this goes without saying, it can't replicate human connections, whether that's through communities. I think communities become much more defensible, help companies build real moats around their brand through the content you release. I still have never released anything production level or hit live on something that AI has created for me. Not even close, right? Have I used AI to do research? Yes. Have I used AI to pitch me 6 different variations of a headline? Yes. I've never used a headline that AI has given me, but it's a really great assistant, right? Assistant, peer, conductor, the 3 errors. I think in writing is still an assistant. part of marketing is always going to be deeply human orientated, connecting with other humans, right? There's a good comparison to make to AI and self-driving, right? Self-driving, we've been promised that for many years from Elon, right? And there's a ton of data gone into these kind of cars, and AI has all of the data about, you know, directions, and I should take this turn and that turn, I should stop here. But when you get in there driving, there's a ton of like nuance, and there's a ton of like being a human in terms of how you drive, right? And you might not realize that until you start to automate that work. So in all of our jobs, there's a ton of things that are just complex unless you're a human, and you don't know those things until you start automating your job, start automating those tasks. And that's why I think it's really important to figure out what are the repeatable tasks you do today that you can start automating with AI. Okay, so that is the three things I really wanted to cover. AI is not just hype. Sam Altman, I think, is saying that AI is going to help marketers be more generalists, have AI do vertical tasks, and be able to do much more work. And the 5%, I think, is really going to be in that timeless principles of marketing, the ability to automate a lot of your work using AI so you can spend much more time in those principles and be the things that really work, grind and perseverance, building those reps and not getting lazy and just saying, well, I can do a bunch of things now with AI, so I don't need to put in the time and effort to become better and better at my job each and every day, right? And we'll get into the timeless principles in a separate show. So let's end with this, right? One of the scenarios we've seen that happens every time we see technological shifts is computers and automation do more work. They help humans shift our attention towards more impactful work, right? The harder work, the higher level work, right? The things that are, you know, more complex to do. What's really interesting about AI is it actually started with that work. It started with creative work. It started with the high level work, design, video, coding. Although none of those things might be production level in any of those areas, maybe code. I think code is actually production level. You've seen a bunch of companies release data around how much they're using these coding assistants, but I believe it will get there. I believe it's going to be incredibly disruptive, right? But I still believe humans will be able to unlock more potential within themselves by using AI and to start doing jobs and roles we hadn't even dreamt of before. How many roles exist today that did not exist 20 years ago? A lot, right? AI is going to help us offload a bunch of the things that we've done today and then create brand new work for ourselves that hopefully is more enjoyable. I think over time, work has become more and more enjoyable because automation and tools and computers has taken away a lot of the things we used to not enjoy. As a marketer, I think AI is going to help us, give us the opportunity to redefine our work and have more impact than we've ever had before. 95% of marketing being automated is a great thing because we can do much more. Automation really starts with marketing, right? We've talked about this on the show before. I believe in the future, marketers could own entire customer journeys. They are the team that bring in the new customers and warm them up for sales, help close them to become customers, and then help do customer marketing to provide customer success teams and support with ways to keep that customer happy. I believe marketers can do that entire customer journey in the future. That 95%, maybe we have AI agents doing a bunch of that stuff. Wow, we can actually make the entire customer experience incredible because we are automators at heart. That's where it starts in most companies. So this is an incredible opportunity for everyone to redefine what marketing is. I think we can combine it with the timeless principles that will never go away of marketing. They've been around since Claude Hopkins wrote Scientific Advertising back in 1923. There's timeless principles that truly matter. The ability to use these tools to automate work and our incredible obsession over our customers to create these incredible customer experiences mean it's going to be an incredible time to be a marketer if a bunch of the stuff we do today gets automated away. That's a special episode of Marketing Against the Grain. I will be back with Kip and guests in future episodes. Hopefully this has been helpful. Go get your AI game on.